Thank you for that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. Today is May the 31st. Just let that sink in for a second. Tomorrow is June the 1st, and I can't believe it. They tell me it's just because I'm getting old that time seems to go faster, but I think a lot of you feel that with me, even if you're not as old as I am. This year has been one of the craziest years I've obviously seen, and some of you have lived longer than I have and have never seen a year as crazy as this year has been. But something that I've tried to do the last couple of years is to kind of pause in the middle of the year. We started this year with a new theme, Christ in Me, and based on Galatians 2:20. And we're going to revisit that today. I think it's important for us as we have these themes and we try to focus on those things. I don't take our yearly theme lightly. It's something I pray about for months before the year begins. And I think it's absolutely critical that we understand this life that we live today can only be lived with Christ in us. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. It's His Spirit that is in us, the Spirit of God that's in us that we live. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. We don't exist without Him. We don't breathe without Him. We don't do anything without Him. Our lives are in Christ. Our lives are hid in Christ, and He is in us. And so I want to make sure that we get that focus through the year. Being a Christian has always been a difficult thing. Being a real Christian has always been a difficult thing. It's not easy for us to live in this flesh and live by the faith of the Son of God. We need His strength to do it. And so, just consider with me, we started the year with the series Christ in Me based on this verse, and we spent a lot of time just trying to understand how is it that Christ gets to be in me. He's in me. I mean, just the Creator of the universe lives inside of each believer. That's mind-boggling. That's hard to comprehend, how the Creator of the universe, the all-present God, can be in us. But He is, and He does that through repentance and faith, and then through a daily surrender to Him, He's in our lives. We spent just a couple of weeks talking about the importance of the ordinances as we looked at baptism, we looked at the Lord's Supper, and by the way, be praying about that. We had the Lord's Supper on the calendar several times this year. We've already missed a couple of those times because of this nonsense, and we're going to get back to that very soon, so pray about that. It's important for us to remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That ordinance has been ordained, and we studied that. We studied about Christ, who is our life. We studied about living water. Just as the COVID-19 pandemic is getting started, we were talking about the importance of evangelism. And what a challenge it's been to be faithful in evangelizing during a time when people are scared to get near you. I don't know if you've experienced that yet, but some of you have. When you go up to somebody and they start to walk away, back away. Nobody's had that happen to them yet? Makes you feel good about yourself, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, I got stuck on the interstate going the wrong way. It's a long story, but if you're going to get stuck on the interstate, I highly recommend doing it in the media and going the wrong direction. It's really fun. So I tried to get out, couldn't get out. OHP showed up and wouldn't let anybody come. Brother Randy and Brother Brandon were going to come rescue me, and the OHP showed up and said, no, they can't do that. You have to have a contract with the state in order to get to tow somebody or even to pull them out. I'm like, well, what if they're there in their personal truck? Nope, can't do that. So I had to wait on a tow truck to come. And this kid got out he's about Wyatt's age, I guess. And I went to shake his hand because, you know, I don't think about that kind of stuff. And he backed away like I had diseases. I'm not saying I don't, but he doesn't know that. But that's it's hard, man, when you can't even get close enough to say hi to somebody, you can't shake somebody's hand, it's hard to evangelize. It's been a challenge to be evangelistic during this time. But God says, Jesus said, when He is in you, His Spirit is going to flow out of you as rivers of living water. And we know how vital it is for us to be evangelistic, even in the midst of a global pandemic. We have to be evangelistic. During Easter, we talked just for a couple of weeks. We talked, first of all, about the darkness surrounding the crucifixion. There's darkness over the whole earth and the darkness of the hearts of the people who hated Jesus so much to kill Him. And then at Easter, we saw that the true light now shines. that the light of the gospel is brighter than the darkness of sin. And listen, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And in this darkness of this day and age, the light of the gospel is what people need. And when they see it in stark contrast with the wickedness in the world, there are people who are desperate for the truth. The last several weeks, we've been through a series called He's Still Working on Me. We've been learning about sanctification, that God is still at work in our lives, that the moment you're saved, you're made right with God, but that's just the beginning. We're in the in-between, okay? The moment you were saved, you experienced justification. God made you right with Him eternally. One day, Jesus is going to take you home, and you'll experience glorification. You'll be made like Him, the rapture. Your body will be glorified, made like His body, will be like Him. But in between justification and glorification, we have sanctification. We're in this process where every day we have to war with the flesh. Every day we have to beat the body into subjection. Every day we have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Every moment of every day we have to make a choice to walk in the newness of life that God has given us. We have to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Savior. So we've learned about a lot of things already in the past almost 6 months. And God has been so, so good to us. And I want to take a time, like I said, as we come to the mid-mark of the year, that we would take the time to just think about those things, to review, to think about what we've already learned about and to be reminded of those things. It's important. Last week, we had Memorial Day. It's so vital that we remember, right? Amen. Remember. And so, if you would please stand with me, we're going to read Galatians 2:20 together. Galatians 2:20. Hey, it's obviously in your Bible. It's on the screen. If you would read it out loud with me together this morning, okay? Here we go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It just feels good to read it out loud, doesn't it? It's one thing for me to read it to you, but when you read it out loud, He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. And the life I'm living now, I want to live by faith in Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this privilege to come and to worship You. Please bless and help. Lord, I pray that You'd help me, for I am nothing without You. I pray Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today. Help us to be reminded today, to feel it fresh and new in our hearts and souls and minds today, what Christ has done for us. Lord, motivate us. Stir up the spirit that's in us. Set our hearts on fire, Lord, to live the life that we have today, the life we have in this flesh, to live it by faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, live in us, live through us, and may our lives be for Your glory and to further Your kingdom. Please bless. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I am crucified with Christ. It means I'm dead. When we are saved, Romans lays it out for us beautifully. Romans 6, when we get saved, the old man dies, and we're to walk in newness of life. We're a new creature in Christ. That's what baptism pictures, what God has done in us. The old man is dead. We have a new life in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We're new creatures in Jesus. That happens when we are born again. Now we live, but it's no longer us that live. No longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. I have new life. No, not that you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Your life is not your own anymore. The life you have now, it belongs to Jesus. He bought you, every part of you. And so the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Who's that? Well, He's the one who loved you. He's the one who gave Himself for you. And we should, because of the love of Christ, because it constrains us, we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but we live unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. So we walk by faith. Now, faith is not a crutch for weak-minded people. The accusation many times is faith, that's just a crutch for weak-minded people. I hear that from atheists pretty regularly. Faith isn't a crutch for weak-minded people, but faith in Christ is the only way to justification and eternal life for all people who are totally incapable of saving themselves. Amen. If an atheist tells you faith is a crutch for weak-minded people, don't be offended by that. We're worse than weak-minded. We're absolutely helpless. Amen. We're condemned. Right? We're worse than weak-minded. We're weak in every way, and we need a Savior. We desperately need a Savior. So faith isn't a crutch for weak-minded people. Faith is the only way for you to be made right in the eyes of a holy God. For all people who are completely incapable of helping themselves, faith is the way of life for those who are justified by faith in Christ. Amen. It's the way to life and justification, but it's also the way of life for those who are justified. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Galatians 3, 10 and 11 lets us know the same thing. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Amen. Nobody was ever made alive by keeping the law. Amen. The law doesn't make you alive. The law reveals to you that you are dead. Amen. We're made alive by faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. By the way, Hebrews 10, that's one of those really controversial chapters in the scripture, but I believe this and a couple of other verses make it clear. He's drawing a distinction at the end of chapter 9 all the way through chapter 10 of those who are in Christ, we who are in Christ, and those who are not in Christ. It's a warning. Listen, if you are genuinely born again, you will live for Christ. Amen. I'm not saying that you won't fall. I'm not saying you can't backslide. I'm not saying that there are not carnal Christians. I'm saying you can't continue in that style of living if you're genuinely born again. Why? Because if you're a child of God, he's going to chasten you. Amen. He's going to chastise you, because if you're not his, he won't chastise you. And if you can't be a Christian in sin, then why would he ever chastise you? Because we are his children and we sin, he chastises. And if you ignore the chastising of God, God eventually will call you home. Amen. He'll convict your heart. If you don't repent, he'll chastise you. If you don't repent, he will call you home. There's a sin unto death for those who are saved. Amen. When you refuse to repent. So the just shall live by faith. Christ lives in me. Jesus lives in me. My life is no longer my own, but Christ is living in me. Help me out for a second. Just think with me for a minute. What is your life? What is your life? When you think about being alive, most people think, well, you've got brain activity, you're breathing, your heart's beating, right? We say that. My uncle, who had a massive heart attack the other day, they took him to Hastings in Tahlequah. Hastings very quickly life-flighted him to Tulsa. They knew that what he had going on was more than they could handle. When they got there, they put him on the table, and he had I'm going to forget which artery it was, but it was on the opposite side of the heart. Most heart attacks are on one side. His was on the other side. It was 99% blocked. They did 4 stents, and he survived. But after the surgery, while he's in recovery, he codes. What's that mean? Well, his heart stopped beating. He's not breathing. His heart's not beating. So they did CPR. They shocked him for about 25 minutes. They said it was touch and go. They'd bring him back and he'd crash again. They'd bring him back and he crashed again. It was awful. So when we think about death, life and death, well, a lot of times we think of, well, you're dead when your heart stops beating, right? We understand from Scripture that when you die, your spirit leaves your body, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We read about it through the scriptures, and you can chew on this for a little bit. When people died and they were brought back to life, the Bible says their spirit came to them again. Their spirit came again. What happened? Their spirit left. Where'd it go? I don't know. Paradise, Abraham's bosom, but it came again, right? But what is your life? I mean, you think about your life. Is that what you think about? You go, well, my life is, you know, my synapses in my brain are firing and my heart's beating and I'm breathing in oxygen and it's getting in my blood through my lungs. Is that your life? No. Our life is what we do. It's our experience of life, right? I would submit to you, your life is made up of a lot of different things. Life is thinking. Life is praying. Life is eating and drinking and working and cleaning. Life is playing. Life is buying and selling and giving. Life is fixing things. We're from Oklahoma, so we're always fixing something or fixing to something, right? Well, some of you are fitting to, but some of us are fixing to. Life is loving, learning. Life is resting, talking, sleeping. I mean, isn't that what our life is? Some would say our life is our relationships. It's communicating with other people. It's doing life together. So many people say that. Do life together. What is our life? It's our relationships. It's the things that we do. And listen, when you live your life without an eternal purpose, what is it? Well, you go to sleep, you get up, you get ready, you go to work, you earn a paycheck, you go to bed, you sleep, you do it all again, mostly so you can earn enough money to buy toys so you can play on the weekend just to numb the pain of having to go to work again on Monday. That's preaching right there. And what do? You do that week in and week out. And if you have no eternal purpose to your life, that's it for you. That's it. You go to school, you graduate, you go to college maybe, or you get a job. Either way, you're going to get a job. You're going to go to work. And every day, you're going to get up, get ready, go to work, come home, go to bed, take care of what you have to around the house. You're going to go to bed. You're going to get up. You're going to do it again. Then the weekend, you're going to play as much as you can because Monday's coming. Monday's always coming, and you're going to do it again for the rest of your life. And that's going to be your life until you can retire or unless you die before you retire. Is that life? I submit to you, the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God, and it completely transforms all of that. Amen. Because when Christ is the purpose of your life, it changes your outlook on all of that. Amen. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now my life matters. Now it's more. So what are you saying, preacher? We should all just quit our jobs and go to Africa? I'm not saying that, but if God leads you to, absolutely that's what you should do. If God calls you there, you ought to give up everything and go. But you can still serve Jesus right here in Muldrow, Oklahoma. You can get up and go to work every day with an eternal purpose. You can go as a missionary, as a minister of reconciliation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your day in and day out life can matter for eternity when you live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's in our life. What does that mean? It means he's in our actions. Our life is what we do. Life is living. It's doing, right? Existing. Actions, our actions, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We understand we live because we're made alive in Christ, but then we live through Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 5 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. While we are at home from the body, we're absent from the Lord. When we're absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord. And in the in-between, what do we do? What do we do in between? We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Faith. See, the reality is our beliefs determine our behavior. What you believe determines what you do. I'm going to forget his name because that's what I do, is forget people's names. But just a couple of months ago, some of you might have seen it. There was a very famous man that's a flat earth guy. And he's been trying to prove that the earth is flat. So he did what any sensible person who believes the earth is flat would do. He built a steam-powered rocket. Maybe not so sensible. He built a steam-powered rocket. They tested it a couple of times. Seemed to be working very well. So he got inside of his steam-powered rocket. His goal was to shoot himself high enough into the sky so for himself he could see and document the fact that the earth is flat and not round. Because all of those pictures of a round earth that you've seen, that's all fake. You've been deep fake since the 1950s, 60s. See, he believed it, so it affected his behavior, and he made poor decisions. And I'm not trying to make fun of the man. It's sad because the reality is his rocket went up and exploded, and he died. You see, when your beliefs are based on falsehood, when your beliefs are based on lies, you're going to make bad decisions, and it's going to end in destruction. Amen. What is our faith based on? Our faith is based on the Word of God. Now, when your faith is based on the truth, then you make good decisions and you have great outcomes. Amen. Our actions day to day need to be done by faith. What does that mean? Well, my thinking needs to be affected by my faith in God and His Word. My praying needs to be guided by God's truth, His Word. Even everything that we do. Whether we eat or drink or sleep, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Every part of our lives should be affected by our faith in Christ. You go to work by faith. You stay home by faith. You play by faith. You buy and sell and give by faith. You take care of the things God has put in your care. You steward them by faith. You witness to others by faith. Everything that we do, it's dictated by, it's guided by our trust in God and in His truth. Not only our actions, but our reactions. Now, I'm told there's a difference between responding and reacting. Reaction is a quick thing. Reaction is just almost an involuntary response. It's what you do reacting without thinking. But I want to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. They say responding, on the other hand, is when you plan things out, when you are careful in your response, when it's thought out and intentional. But I want to tell you, it ought to be the same either way, because our reactions ought to be based on who we are in Christ. Amen. Has anyone ever said anything to you that made you angry? Are you married? Do you live with other human beings? Okay. Listen, sooner or later, somebody's going to say something to you that makes you angry. And there's going to be a physical response that makes you want to respond or react in anger, right? That's what happens in us. It's in our flesh that when somebody gets loud with us, we want to get loud back. When somebody gets angry, we want to be angry. When somebody's snarky with us, hey, I can be snarky too. Some of y'all didn't know that, but I can be snarky too. That was supposed to be a joke. Consider this. Our entire Christian life is in response to what Christ has done for us. Amen. Everything you do from the moment you're saved to the moment you die should be, or actually is, in fact, in response to what Christ has done for you. We love Him because He saved me. I love Him. I love Him. Why? Because He first loved me. Amen. We forgive others. Why? Because He's forgiven us. Amen. our entire life after we're saved is actually a massive reaction. It's a massive response to what God has done. The way we live towards Him, the way we live towards other people, it's in reaction to, response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. See, we think about our actions, what we do day in, day out, but I want you to think about our reactions, how we respond. Really, everything in our life is a response, and how we respond to life day by day ought to be driven by our faith in Christ, ought to be driven by His love for us. Okay. Did anybody see the video George Floyd this week? Anybody watch the video? Would you raise your hand if you saw the video? Okay. Anybody have a hard time watching it? If it was hard, if you could watch that easily without, I mean, there's something, you need to have a psychological evaluation immediately. Like, leave here and go find somebody now. If you could watch that without it bothering you, there's something wrong with you. That was disturbing. Amen. Our nation has responded to that. Amen. Or you might say our nation has reacted to that. Okay? I've seen a lot of responses. We've seen rioting. What started as peaceful protests turned into riot. Stores are being burned. People are being hurt. Property's being destroyed. If you don't understand, that's a poor response. So what do you do? What do you do? I've seen responses from Christians in their statements, public statements made. And some of them have been really good and some of them have been really bad. This is not something, you don't dismiss it. You don't just kind of dismiss it. It's not political. This is a person's life. Our responses to things matter. And our responses need to be based on our faith in God and His Word. Amen. You see, whether it's something huge, a huge racially charged, country-dividing issue, or whether it's something small where somebody at work or somebody in your house got snarky with you, and everything in between must be governed by our faith in Christ. Our life is a series of choices. Every action that we make, every reaction that we express, those are all based on our beliefs because they're choices. Decisions. Everything we do, how we live, is based on our beliefs. Belief is a choice. And what we truly believe will impact the choices we make today. The choices we make today will impact the rest of our lives and the rest of eternity. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Jesus Christ died for you to redeem you from the curse of the law, from the curse of sin. He died to give you life. He died to justify you. He died to make you right with Him. I was taught growing up that justified was, you could just remember it by this, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. And just a couple of years ago, I can't remember, it might have been one of you that told me this, that was so precious. That's absolutely true. When Jesus died for you, you put your faith in Him, you are covered by the blood. His blood takes away your sins. You have a right standing with God. It's just as if you'd never sinned. But listen to this, the other side of that's true too. It's just as if you had always done right. It's just as if you'd been as sinless as Jesus. Do you understand that when you're born again, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are clothed with His righteousness, with His goodness? Your justification is bigger than you can comprehend. And most of us don't ever grasp that. Most of us don't ever internalize that. Most of us never own that. But you are right with God. Not only as though you'd never done any wrong, but also as though you were as good as Jesus Himself. Take hold of that. That's not arrogancy. That's not pride. That you ought to take that with great humility, great thankfulness that Jesus Christ has given you his righteousness. You stand right in the eyes of God Almighty today, just like Jesus is right in his eyes. Do you feel it? Do you feel like you stand in the eyes of God just like Jesus? That he sees you the same way he sees his only begotten Son? You can. You should. Because he said so. And if you're justified, are you living by faith? This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word today. That's it. Two questions. Are you justified? I don't mean, do you have a belief in God? I don't mean, do you come to church? I don't mean, have you been baptized? I mean, are you right in the eyes of God? Because your faith, you are trusting in Christ alone today. And if you are justified, are you living by faith? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you living by faith? Is your faith in Jesus impacting every part of your life? Or is your faith just a Sunday thing? Or is your faith an every moment of every day thing? Are you living by faith? The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart today. If you've never been born again, you need to be saved. Trust in him today. You've been saved. Maybe you've been saved a long time, but you know you're not living by faith. Jesus is not your life. He's just a part of your life. Today, you need to repent. Jesus needs to be your life. He is your life. If he's convicting your heart, you come.